Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Oh, yeah. You cannot beat that theme. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. If you are an inkling of a football fan, you know that theme from way back, Monday Night Football. We are at Ellis Island. It is Willie. It is Alex at Front Yard for Monday Night Football, as we are every single week. So get down here. Join us for the drink specials, for the food specials. $30 all you can drink beer in the front yard, NFL Sundays and Mondays. 15-plus beers to choose from. $45 all you can eat in a three-hour time limit. So you get down here, it's perfect for the game. Each Monday, we give it away two-top all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink beer for Sunday football viewing. It's $150 value, so get down here. UNLV football tickets for Boise State. Gift cards for the Raiders Image Store. We're going to be doing some giveaways here in a little bit. So I think I forgot to do a giveaway, didn't I, earlier, Griffin? I believe I did.
But yeah, we got a couple of them, but we can get rid of them. We can start giving these away after we get a couple of segments in this hour.
Yeah, we got a couple of giveaways. We're going to give away some tickets to Brad Paisley. We're going to give away tickets to Sam Hunt at the Fountain Blue. So make sure you stick around. We're going to welcome in Reno for the Big Four as we do. Let's get to it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
All right, Alex, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but a little bit of controversy in the Mountain West, not necessarily caused by this person, but there has definitely been some boycotting of Blair Fleming, San Jose State volleyball player. I believe we're up to four schools now. Nevada players voted to forfeit against San Jose State. As the headline reads, transgender player, despite the school's statement. I believe they originally came out, they were going to play. Now they're not going to play, is what I'm reading. OutKick has been getting a lot of these exclusives. So they came out with that today. The previous story was that the women's volleyball team held a vote among players and voted to forfeit an October 26th match against San Jose State. Nevada Athletic Department said in an exclusive statement on October 3rd that the team would play the scheduled match. So the school did not consult with the players when they made that statement.
I think this is how it could be done. Have the players vote. And, I mean, they clearly voted a certain way, so you have to respect that.
Yeah, you do. And that's just it. I'm not going to sit here and get on a rant either side and start talking about these issues, but what I will say is this: we talk about protests in this, you know, in this generation, right? We've seen it basically since COVID. They've run rampant in different manners. And I get it. There's one side that's sort of looking down upon those that are protesting this, but at the same time, they're upset that they're protesting her playing. The problem is those people were also on the same time of protest that one side of issues they were protesting. So
right.
if we live in a country where you have the right to protest, then I think that you have the freedom to do so. And if you're going to stand on what you believe, then stand on what you believe. Doesn't make you right. Doesn't mean that everyone's got to agree. But we live in a country, and that's what they're chosen to do up in Reno. So
number three,
Nevada beats Oregon State. UNLV goes up to Corvallis and plays Oregon State. Wolfpack is now 3-4. Who said this was going to be a down year for them, by the way? Because I kept hearing that this was not a good football team. They've won two of their last three. They're three wins shy of bowl eligibility.
They are very competitive. I thought it was going to be a down year. I really did. So good for the Wolfpack. 42-37 win at home against Oregon State.
They've shown, that's just it, is their last three games they put up 49, 31, and 42 points. They lost by four at San Jose. You know, they lost three of their last four. But what the one thing that I noticed in those first four games was the defense. They never allowed more than 30 points. If you look at their defensive numbers per se, I mean, it's not necessary. It's not glaring. They're in the bottom third. They allow 403 yards per game. They're ranked 103rd. But their rushing offense is 17th in the nation. They can grind out possessions. They rank 16th in the country in time of possession with 32 minutes, 36 seconds per game, each game. So, I mean, when you have a ball control offense and you can control and keep the ball out of the opposition's hands, you give yourself a chance to win. Like I said, all of a sudden, with 6 games left to play, they need 3 wins. They play Fresno State in Reno. This week, they go to Hawaii, they host Colorado State, they're at Boise, they host Air Force, and they're at UNLV. They do not play back-to-back, like at home or on the road. They're alternating where they're playing for the rest of the way. 3 wins are bowl eligible.
Well, and the 3 top teams in the Mountain West with Fresno, Boise State, and UNLV, they're all separated pretty nicely, too. They don't have back-to-back with any of those top-tier teams, so it's definitely doable.
All right, so that means that they have to gun for Hawaii, Colorado State, and Air Force to get in the bowl. Got it. Number two. All right, Alex, you sent this over. ESPN ranked the World Series matchups. I'll let you have this one.
Man, I love this so much. It's not often that we have these four teams that you're looking forward to. Doesn't really matter which way, but I do think ESPN nailed it here. Top matchup that they are going for, Dodgers and Yankees. And we have not seen these two meet in the World Series since 1981. So that would be a lot of fun. Next one, Subway Series. First one we would have, of course, that is New York Mets, New York Yankees. First one that we would see since 2000. Of course, the poor Cleveland Guardians. I usually don't mess that up. Cleveland Guardians are outside looking in. They're the smaller market, right? So they aren't in one of the top matchups, but they've been consistent and good all year long, and they have great pitching, so you can't really go wrong.
Now, I know your family background, very heavy into baseball. Do you have an affinity for any of these matchups in particular? Well, first let me ask you this. Are you disappointed that one of the team, is there a team that you wish was still in? Who's your favorite team?
I don't have a favorite team. The Padres were a lot of fun to watch this year. I was a little disappointed with them. It's good for baseball when the Dodgers and Yankees are good, right?
Shohei and Aaron Judge, who doesn't want to see that matchup?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be wild. That was a time when I first became with my grandfather and we would bet. I was like, I don't know, let's see, I was 77, so I was 8. And I think the bet was $1. But because it was Reggie Jackson, so I was betting on the Yankees. I didn't necessarily have a fan, but because of my great uncle, my mom's uncle, who lived in North Hollywood, who's a big Dodger fan, so I kind of knew the Dodgers. I collected baseball cards, but the very first World Series that I remember watching vividly was the Yankees, Dodgers, back to back, Reggie hitting 3 in a game. I mean, so, and then you talked about the 81 series. So yeah, I mean, I would love to see that in 2024, especially like I said, with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. The excitement to go from the WNBA finals that we have right now, and you and I are lovers of the WNBA,
absolutely,
into a Dodger-Yankee World Series while we got the hype of the NFL and college football. I think it would be fantastic. All right, before we get to number one, Griff, I'm gonna get your phones ringing, and I'm going to do the first giveaway. You ready for them calls? All right, I got the thumbs up. Here we go. Let's do caller number 7. 2 tickets to see Brad Paisley's Acoustic Storyteller Tour. Now, it's October 18th and 19th. When you win and you call, they'll tell you which date you're going. It's at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. Make sure you have your account set up at Ticketmaster.com, your email address that's affiliated with that, because it'll get sent to your account. 2 tickets to Brad Paisley Acoustic Storyteller Tour, October 18th and 19th, Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. Caller number 7, hit Griff right now. Griff, give me number 1.
Number 1.
All right, Alex. Number 1 on the Big 4, UNLV football. They're in after a big 50-34 win over Utah State in, I love what you call this, a sleepy spot. UNLV had 313 rushing yards, 6.7 yards per carry, 9.7 yards per play. Haj Malik Williams continues to impress. 3 passing touchdowns. Jackson Woodard named Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week today. Next up, as we've been saying, Oregon State, Boise State on deck. UNLV opens a 5.5-point favorite in Corvallis. It's moved to 7. I'm guessing that's sharp money. My question is, it's got to be pretty easy for this team to not look ahead, right? They got to stay focused because you don't want to look ahead to Boise State. How do they do it?
Well, I mean, you just said it. They already have 1 loss against Syracuse. They've got to go pretty much undefeated here on out. Of course, Boise State is still in that top 25, so they will most likely have a rematch against them in the conference tournament. So maybe if they go 1-1 there, but you want to try to go undefeated here. So cannot have a look at it. It's funny, you put they are open -5. You didn't add that other 7. I just realized that it had moved there. I did make the Rebels a 7-point favorite on the road as well.
Alex, tell a little bit. We got a couple minutes here. Let's talk about your power ratings, because you actually do your own. Now, I a long time ago, growing up in this town, like I just got done telling you, I bet with my grandfather when I was 8, 9 years old, right? I grew up in a time when I was going to Little Caesars Sportsbook, Castaways, the old bookmaking days, Sonny Reisner, Gene Mayday. You've heard those names. I know you've heard those names from Papa.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody about how you formulate your own power ratings, where they can find them, and what you got going.
Okay, so there's a lot of different ways to make power ratings, and a lot of people have their own ways of doing it. And you can honestly start from the beginning of the season. You can use the win totals, kind of where the bookmakers have these teams and rank them and give them a number. My dad passed down from his dad, Pete White, he still makes his own power ratings as well. They have a player power rating system, so every player on the team is rated out, and then it makes your power rating for your team. Of course, you got to adjust it week after week, and by looking at where the money goes, so right now the money is going towards UNLV, which is respected, like you said, probably sharp money, and then if they cover that or not, you adjust from there, look at the box score, how the game played out, and yeah, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, but
people think, you know, well, they just sit back on Sundays, but Sundays are your busiest day, not because of NFL, but because you're updating 100-some-odd teams.
Took me about 6 hours yesterday updating college football, and that was the most time I've taken on it. So I really tried to dive in and make sure my numbers are in the right spot now going into week 8 here for college football. But yes, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a grind. I mean, I've known a lot of people have done it, and I think when you grow up in this town, it becomes a part of your genetic code in terms of betting on sports. I mean, I went to Clark High School. I moved away for a few years, 2.5 years, and when we came back, Spring Valley was built. So I went to Clark my senior year. We would go on lunch break down to the Frontier Hotel and put in parlay cards because nobody questioned anybody back in the day. The old school joints, seniors in high school, we were walking in and betting whatever we wanted. So we had a lot of fun. So, yeah, make sure you check out Alex. She'll get it. We'll share your information on the comeback. When we come back, we're going to welcome in Doug Feinberg from the Associated Press. He covers the WNBA, national women's basketball writer. We are going to talk WNBA finals. We are going to talk free agency. We are going to talk Kelsey Plum. We are going to talk Las Vegas Aces. He's going to fill us in on everything you want to know. We are Cofield and Company down at Ellis Island Front Yard. It is Willie. It is Alex. Get down here. Come see us. You got plenty of time before Monday Night Football.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
That's right, Cofield and Company, we are live at Ellis Island at the front yard. You got Willie, you got Alex, you got a distracted Raiders team. I asked him in the postgame presser, him and Aiden O'Connell, straight up, right in their front row, is this team any good right now? So maybe we got that sound. I think we'll play that later. You know who's not been distracted? Nafisa Collier,
no.
Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Courtney Williams, Kayla
yes.
McBride. We could go down the list. The Liberty and the Lynx have been locked in all season. They were the Commissioner's Cup finalists. Now they're in the WNBA finals. Here to talk about it is my guy my colleague, my boy, from the Associated Press, Doug Feinberg. Doug, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you. I know you're busy.
Willie, to be here called your guy made my night. So anytime I'm your guy, it makes me a happy person.
Doug, I don't know where else to go except let's start with game one because the atmosphere was incredible just watching it on TV. But, I mean, you've covered this league. You've covered women's basketball for so long. You remember when so many of these players were in college. But to see this season and what we've watched culminate with what we're seeing now and this WNBA final matchup, can you talk about the first two games and just everything we're seeing?
So I guess the easiest way to describe it is in one word, and that word is wow. I mean, the atmosphere was incredible for game one and two. The play on the court was, I thought, phenomenal, minus missed free throws and layups at the end of the game. But the fact that it came down to that in game one, that Minnesota, I think, converted final nine possessions in regulation to force overtime, just high-level basketball. And listen, they're two, I think, evenly matched teams, it seems. And I think we're going to be for an exciting last, at least two games, maybe three, of the series when they move to Minnesota in 2 days.
Now, Minnesota, they did beat Liberty three of the four regular season games, including that Commissioner Cup game. So it wasn't that surprising for them to take game one. But, man, it seems like the Liberty have been on a mission since day one after losing to the Aces last year. What do you expect in these two games now going back to Minnesota?
Well, I'll tell you, Alex, I mean, they always say it's like the coach's cliche, you throw out the regular season. And I think that kind of worked here. In the sense that they're two really good teams. The stat that I think is incredible is that they split the first two games of the series. I think Minnesota led for about maybe 3 minutes total. They didn't lead the first game until the last 5.5 seconds when Courtney Williams had that unbelievable four-point play. And then they led for a few minutes in overtime. But like before that, they didn't lead the first 39 minutes and 54 seconds. In game two, they didn't lead at all. So the fact that they came out with a split has got to be a great sign for Minnesota. And now they get to go home in front of their home fans. It should be, I think, a really, really great game on Wednesday for game three. And I'll go on a limb and say whoever wins game three is, I think, going to win the series.
Let me ask you, we're speaking with Doug Feinberg, Associated Press. He's covering a national women's basketball writer. He's well in tune with the WNBA Finals. Was that games one and two? You're going to Minneapolis, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I got a flight tomorrow morning.
After. Okay. Let me ask you a question because, you know, since we've met and since the Aces arrived here, you know, I've been impassioned about covering the WNBA, and I've known about her. But in terms of, like, notoriety, why has Nafisa Collier played the backseat for so many years to the likes of Stewie and Asia, A.T., Jonquel? I mean, is it her? She's such a calming nature. Like, she's fun in press conferences. She's low key, but she's a beast on the court. What is it that all of a sudden this year she's emerged?
So I don't think it's anything she's done, but the players you named have been phenomenal. I mean, Asia Wilson was the best player in the world this year, no question. She came in second in the MVP voting, but she didn't get one first place vote, which shows you how good Asia was all season. The year before, Asia, Stewie and Alyssa Thomas were all really, really good. She was in that category, but those three were so much better than everybody else that, again, no one was talking about her. She's been a steady Eddie. She's the rock for that defense. Her offensive game, her footwork is incredible. The shot she hit with 8.8 seconds left where she faked twice in the lane, fall away, jumper to give them the lead in overtime. I mean, she's been a great player for a long time, but just has been overshadowed by some generational players, I'll say.
She's definitely become one of my favorite players to watch. I want to stick with the Lynx side before we get into the Liberty. A lot of people are unfamiliar with Courtney Williams' journey. How special is she, and why is she one of those players who fans find themselves rooting for?
Courtney's great. I remember covering her in college when she was in South Florida, and she came up. That's when the UConn and South Florida were in the same American conference. And she was a dog, and that's what she self-described dog. She is tough as nails. She is fun to interview because she's got a great personality. She's not afraid to take any shot, any big shot. But also, she redeveloped her game this year with Minnesota and became a point guard. So she was become a better distributor of the basketball. I think people root for her because she's genuine. She's honest. She tells you what she's on her mind. She's fun. Her personality is great. Just somebody you'd want to root for. If you're watching a sport, you know what? I like that player. She plays hard all the time, and it's just a really, really great basketball player and an even better person.
That's the. You know, what's funny is I met her year one of Athletes Unlimited, and we became close that year, and then they come out here with the Sun, and my son sat courtside for one of the games they played here. They beat the Aces, and he told me, he goes, all these players are so tall, and the two littlest ones are absolute dogs, Pops. And he was talking about Courtney Williams and Kelsey Plum and the battle that they had on the court. So you nailed it. And when I asked Kelsey about Courtney for a story I was writing for Athletes Unlimited, she was like, she's a straight dog. Let's talk about a different Courtney, because this has been an emotional journey for Courtney Vandersloot. She loses her mother to start the season, misses some time. Now she's part of yet another championship-caliber team, and she finds herself in somewhat of a different role coming off the bench, but she's thriving in it, and the Liberty are benefiting.
Yeah, Willie, you hit the nail on the head. She's had a roller coaster year with stuff off the court. And then on the court, when she came back, Coach said, hey, I think we're better off if you come off the bench and work with the second team, run the offense for them, get more shots up. And like a true pro, accepted the role and did what she needed to do. And she was a difference maker in that Aces series. I thought the Aces were going to beat them. I thought the Aces were the peaking at the right time. They're going to win the series again. They're going to once again be the thorn in New York's side. But then Courtney Vandersloot made the plays necessary to get New York the championship, or to get past the two-time defending champions and get to the championship round. Just really a great player, consummate pro, won a title in Chicago a couple years ago. And just, as I said, there was no complaining. There's no trade me now. She was happy to do what it took for her team to win. And she's going to be, I think, important for them in the next couple games against Minnesota.
All right, let's talk about, let's get away from the WNBA finals. Let's talk free agency for a minute here, because there are some. It's not just in Las Vegas where all eyes are on if AC is going to retire, if Kelsey Plum's going to bolt. I have my belief as to what I think she's going to do. There are some big, big names that are going to be free agents. First step is to protect six players from each team, for each team, before the expansion draft. Are there any, Doug, insights, not in terms of things that you know, but just that you feel? Now, I don't want you to reveal anything that you may have already be, that you can't, but are there things that you feel keep an eye on this, that, or the other? And then we can zero in on the Aces.
Well, as excited as you think this year's free agency is going to be, wait till next year when everyone's going to be a free agent because of the new CBA that's going to be coming out. So people are not signing long-term deals because they know that the pot's going to get a lot bigger for them or a lot sweeter when the new CBA comes out, which I think they'll probably opt out. We'll probably talk about it in a minute, but I think they'll opt out in a week or so when the finals are over, renegotiate the new $200 million a year TV deal for the next 11 years. That's going to bolster salaries. So if you're a free agent, you would be foolish to sign a long-term contract right now because you'll be able to get a lot more money in 2 years. So that to me is sort of the thing to keep an eye on. You may see someone sign for a year but then move somewhere else the year after. But it's exciting. We like movement. That's what makes every other pro sport exciting, is you can see these massive moves to make teams better quickly, as opposed to in the past of NBA, there wasn't the movement. You had to build through the draft, which the Aces did incredibly well, obviously getting Plum, getting Jackie Young, getting Asia Wilson, and then adding some other pieces, obviously Chelsea Gray and Candace Parker for that year. But I think you're going to see people signing one-year deals this year, and then next year when they have the new salary structure, they're going to have more long-term deals.
Okay, so I'll never forget, there was one game, you were in town, we were in the back of at Mandalay Bay, we were probably in the media dining room or the press room, and you were like, is this normal for KP? How long does she take? Her pre-game routine she brought from Seattle when she played at Washington. Her and I have discussed this, but she would not let anybody else work her out after her dynamic stretching than who? Natalie Nicasi. Those two would sit over an iPad. They would do their drills. She would do her shooting. And it doesn't mean that other players didn't, but they have established an incredibly tight relationship. When you look at the core four and when they signed their previous contracts, they were all done in May through July. Kelsey's been headed toward UFA. She didn't get extended. She's at 200K. They're going to have to pony up, or they agree to not protect her, and Natalie grabs her. That's my kind of take, because I kind of think Kelsey's ready to become the face of a franchise on her own and take on a new challenge. That's my guess.
Listen, you're a smart guy, Willie. I wouldn't disagree with anything you said. You are connected more than anyone I know in Vegas. So you may be onto something there, I'll say.
All right, we got about 30 seconds. Real quick, how big is the WNBA Final Series because of who's in it for Unrivaled?
Well, it's huge. You have the two business partners who started Unrivaled with Stewart and Collier. They laugh when we ask them that question. So it's going to do wonders for that new 3-on-3 league, having the best players in that league playing in the finals.
Doug, I really appreciate you taking time. I know how busy it is for you every single year at this point, but you are my guy. I will be in touch with you when you hit the Twin Cities. We'll be staying in touch. Thank you for joining us on Cofield & Company.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
That's right. Welcome in Reno as well. We have our sister station up there joining us for this hour, so appreciate you joining in. Hey, listen, I'm not even playing around. There are starting to come in. So if you are planning on getting down here, I highly encourage you to get down here, get a table for the Jets-Bills game, the Yankees-Guardians game. If you want hockey, we'll get it on one of the TV stations, but Alex and I are down here. We're going to be hanging around from 6 to 8 afterwards with some giveaways. Got some huge giveaways for Sunday football. We'll talk about that. But don't forget about also Oasis. Monday Night Football specials on Oasis over on Decatur, just near Trop. Always a dollar pizza slice, dollar wings, and dollar tacos for Monday Night Football. They've got a $10,000 cash giveaway for gamers this Wednesday. So make sure you check out Oasis. All right, Alex, I am known on this show for the guy who sends over the national days. I like it when I take a break because I'm work out of my house. So if I'm not at the Golden Knights facility, the Raiders facility, a crazy week like this week, I get done with my sports betting writing or some freelance writing. And when I take a break, I'll walk around the house, stretch a little bit, do whatever I got to do. But then sometimes I'll log on to these sites and look what national day it is. National this day, national that day. Do you ever check out what national days?
So before our last guest, we were talking about where people can find me, and that is Sports by the Book on YouTube, or it is on Punchlines FN, which Frank Nicotero hosts.
Okay.
And I do that show with him twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the national days.
Okay.
So I at least know two of the 7 days every week. So it is a lot of fun. I like it.
Okay, well, do you know what? Today is National Be Bald and Be Free Day. Be Bald and Be Free Day is October 14th, and it says, we're here to show you how to celebrate the day in style. There are millions of people who are affected by baldness, either due to natural causes or medical treatments, which is why this day is dedicated to the bald and the beautiful. Now, here's the thing. When I first shaved my head, the very first time I ever did it was when Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan went in the NBA Finals against one another, and I did it just to do it. I don't know why. I shaved my head with clippers, and that was how I left it, like clipped, not shaved. And I let it grow back, but then I wore a short, because I used to, back in the day when I was telling you at the top of the show about when we come to Ellis Island, we go to the nightclubs, I had hair as long as yours. I had long hair as a DJ, and you're dancing, right? The whole, I had, you, I can get into it. But so I went from one extreme to the other. Then I just started shaving it when it started receding right here. And so I opted to shave my head, but I don't think at this point it's coming back in droves if I were to let it. But anyway, it's my day today. It's National Be Bald. The other day that it is National Dessert Day. Now, the website I saw said calories don't count today, so make sure to pick up that box of donuts you've been thinking about all week. I don't know who wrote that for that website, but donuts aren't a dessert. That can be construed as a snack, maybe for breakfast. I'm of the belief that donuts are one of two foods that you do not have to be hungry for. If anybody were to say, hey, do you want a donut? If they were to say to me, I'm not hungry, I'd be like, you don't have to be hungry to be a donut. I never heard something more ridiculous. When have you ever been where you know that you're not hungry? Or let's say you eat breakfast at home, you show up at the office, there's a box of donuts. You're going to eat a donut. But it's not a dessert. All right, so let's get Griffin on this too. What, Alex, first you, what's your go-to dessert?
Ice cream. Ice cream or frozen yogurt, that's my favorite dessert by far.
Okay.
I know. It's not the best answer. I know you're hoping for cheesecake.
No,
or some...
no, because that's your choice. Griffin, what's your go-to?
Man, it is slept on. It is not talked about enough. Give me a frozen go-gurt. You leave a go-gurt, box of them in the freezer. They freeze up real nice. And then you take it out. You got to let it melt a little bit.
Yeah.
But it gets that nice consistency. It is a beautiful dessert. Thank me later.
Okay. So for me, considering the restaurants around town and, you know, all the nice places, I'm going to go with, and I think Papa White will appreciate what something like this because he eats at the nice place. Like, I'm looking for a tiramisu.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to go with the tiramisu. But so, yeah, there you go. National Dessert Day. Hey, we're going to do – we still got a giveaway to do. We are coming back. Eye on Sports Gambling. We're going to let Alex run the show. You're going to get her insight on sports betting. That's back at Cofield & Company, Ellis Island, Front Yard.
It's Cofield & Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar & Grill. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That's right. Once again, get over to Oasis. Monday Night Football specials. Always a dollar pizza slice, dollar wings, dollar tacos. This Wednesday, Alex, they got a $10,000 cash giveaway for gamers. So make sure you check out Oasis Bar and Grill. This is Eye on Sports Gambling presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. You got Willie, you've got Alex, and we have Alex's eye on sports gambling because there isn't anybody better when it comes to the ratings, the power ratings. This time of year, Alex is dialed in. She's got your numbers in college football. She's got your numbers in the NFL. She knows WNBA. She sent over a bunch of topics. She had baseball on there, so nobody better to jump into this topic with. I'm going to let you run with it. Alex, one thing I noticed, road favorites. 8-0 against the spread this week. It's been a doggy dog year.
Yes, it has.
Dogs of 5.5, I believe, and higher were some obnoxious, like 21-6, some weird, some outstanding number. But the favorites got him this week.
Yeah, you're right. And we were just talking about this last week, right? And the parity in the NFL and how these dogs are covering and winning outright. And then, of course, it flips and you'll have a Sunday like we had yesterday where the favorites definitely won and a lot of overs yesterday, too.
What? Let's start with the Panthers-Falcons. Weird game, but I had that game. I like that game over. And, you know, there are people, they look at a game like that and how teams are performing, right? And they look at it and they go, how is that game going to go? There are so many times, Alex, where these matchups, and they look dead set under, it goes over. Dead set over, it goes under. Like, tonight, we're going to talk about tonight's game in a little bit, but if you think about all the dysfunction that's going on with the Jets, yet it opened 3, and it moved to 1, maybe pick 'em, and everyone's going, wait a minute, Buffalo, how many times we've seen Panthers and Falcons, I told a bunch of people my best total was that to go over, and they looked at me like I was crazy, it went over.
Very good. I did not have that game going over, but I haven't been betting a whole lot of NFL totals just yet. I was on the Falcons side, and I thought they looked very impressive. But still, Carolina did just enough for you to get that total over.
What, when you look at the bad beats of this week, NFL biggest disappointments, you had sent over just the disappointments. But in terms of just on the whole, and if you have any college you want to throw in there, but your bad beats, your disappointments of the week.
Well, Tennessee Titans, and it's funny because Griffin sent over a clip from Stephen A. talking about Will Levis, and I thought that was going to be about his quarterback play because it has not been particularly good for the Titans, and he's really cost them a few games. But no, it was about a different topic, and we'll get into that later. That's a little tease, and it's pretty funny. I'm glad that Griffin did send that over. But Tennessee, disappointing. I mean, the Colts are going with Joe Flacco. They don't have Jonathan Taylor. That's a game that they have to win at home. So that was a disappointing one. College-wise, sorry, Steve Cofield, because he is not here. But, man, I really thought Rutgers should have had Wisconsin.
I had Rutgers, too. Yeah. I thought, yeah. I loved watching Kansas State beat Colorado, as I mentioned earlier when we had Steve Kim on. I'm a big fan of Avery Johnson. I'm not a fan of Shador and the Sanders family, but, you know, I was at Media Day. I got caught in a viral moment with Deion Sanders, and I just think that the one phrase that came to mind, and I think people, it was more the response from everybody else when Shador said, "We're everybody's Super Bowl." I don't think that people understood what he was trying to say is that, because just last week or 2 weeks ago, not Kansas State, but whoever they played the previous week, they said, "No, we've had Colorado circled." So they're always going to have callers because you want to say that you knocked off Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders, right? So,
was it Central Florida?
No, that was several weeks ago.
Okay,
that was several weeks ago. But the fact of the matter is, they have them circled in college. You know, I loved seeing Oregon. I loved Oregon plus the points at home, because here's the thing. You know, it's people are making a big deal this year about the former Pac-12 teams going into the Big Ten and having to adjust to the rugged play, right? The thuggery, if you will, of the Big Ten. But hey, when the Big Ten teams are going to the former Pac-12 stadiums, they have to get used to these teams that we watch play Pac-12 after dark.
That's
for
right.
So many years. So it goes both ways.
No, it definitely does, and we've seen that, right? We saw Miami almost go down because of that travel time and the adjustment there. So it definitely goes both ways. Man, it's getting interesting here. I do like your Kansas State. I do think they look like the best team right now in the Big 12, because there was a lot of other teams that have been very disappointing, including Oklahoma State and Kansas. And
yeah.
So I think they're looking like the best right now.
You know what? It's funny, because let's talk a little bit about look-aheads to this week. You have down here some college football, the big games for this week. But you know what? I want to point out the Kansas-Houston game. Nobody's going to be paying attention. You know why? Because Houston's at the bottom of the standings. Kansas hasn't got a conference game. They've got one win. There's a perfect example of what I was just talking about. Here's Kansas with one win on the season, 0-3 in conference play. Houston all of a sudden has picked up a couple of wins. We watched them lose. We watched both those teams lose to UNLV. Kansas is laying 6 points. So when you look at it, you're thinking the bettors are going to go, "I'm taking Houston. Houston's got wins. They've got two wins in conference play." But you have to think to yourself, those big shiny buildings right up the street, those big ones with the marquees, they didn't get there because they lose. The bookmakers know what they're doing. It's a clear indicator that Kansas can win that game. And it's not even in Lawrence. It's at Arrowhead Stadium. So there's a good example. You have college football's big games, Miami at Louisville, Alabama at Tennessee, Georgia at Texas. Do you have anything that you've already noticed that stood out to you in pro or college?
So really those two big ones right there, Alabama at Tennessee, I'm definitely going to be on the dog in that one, with Tennessee getting points at home, because home field does mean so much. And yeah, they did not look great last week against the Gators. Maybe they were looking ahead to this spot against Alabama. And Steve Kim said it. I mean, Alabama, really, their defense has not been up to par since that second half of that Georgia game. On the flip side, Georgia going to Texas. I like the favorite in that one. Texas only 3.5 at home. I mean, they are by far the most complete college football team right now. They're number one in the standings. They're number one in my power ratings, and they have been for a week or two. So I think Texas will take care of business at home.
Yeah, that's going to be I don't know if it delivers a severe blow to Georgia in terms of, because Georgia lost Alabama, but it doesn't help.
See, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you have to think about those angles, right? Georgia's coming into this game with one loss, so they are going to be ready for that. So that is that makes it a little tougher to handicap. But Texas, I mean, they've got Quinn Ewers back now, even though they're backup in Manning is not a bad backup by any means, but I think they're playing the best complementary football.
Once again, Ion Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, Decatur, south of Trop, a true local bar with sports and a rocking menu, 24/7 breakfast, the Reuben, the French dip, Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs, the Monday dinner special. How about dollar pizza, dollar hot dogs, dollar wings, dollar tacos? So make sure you follow Oasis Bar and Grill on Instagram and check them out. All right, Alex, let's shift gears just a little bit. We just had Doug Feinberg on, and he talked about the energy, talked about a couple of players that we threw at him. But you and I, I did your show a while back, and we talked WNBA a lot. Let's talk about Game 3. Let's break this down a little bit, because the New York Liberty are now going on the road to Minnesota. They're laying 2.5. I just talked about where you've got to look at a line like a stock market and where the line is, where the betting market is, and what's indicated. The line opened 1.5. It's moved to 2.5. That's sharp money, I would imagine, that's playing that up. It's at 160.5. I got news for you. I like the Minnesota Lynx, because I think what they're looking at is what have you done for me lately? And the Liberty just comes off of a blowout win, but they were 7-1 after a loss going into the playoffs, and then the lone loss, I believe it was going into the playoffs, then the lone loss was to the Aces, and then they smacked the Aces around. Minnesota's not an easy place to play, and the Lynx are also good off of a loss.
I'm with you. I mean, I would definitely lean to the dog here. I wish it was getting a little bit more points, but they can win outright. I would have this game at a pick 'em going back to Minnesota, and that is still making Liberty power rated higher than the Lynx, but on a new, well, with Minnesota getting the home court points there, it'd make it about a pick 'em for me. I'm interested in the total. What is that total in that game?
160.5.
160.5. See, I think I'll be on the under. Minnesota's dominated defensively all year long, and especially at home. So we'll see a really good defensive effort from Minnesota at home.
Minnesota averaging 80.3 points in Minnesota, which is 2 points below their season average. So they average 82 points a game. They actually average more on the road, and that's because of their balance and the fact that they can sort of pick it up when need be, because they're allowing more, obviously, visiting other teams, so they're having to compensate for that. But they only allow 72.8 points per game at home, 3 points less than the 75 they're giving up overall this season. So yeah, I fully expect Minnesota to bounce back and make a game of it. It is a low point spread, and I agree with you where it's a little shaky to look at. So you have to look at it, who can win the game?
Right.
Can Minnesota win the game? I personally think that they can win the game, because they played well and they've stepped up. This is the WNBA Finals. If you're going to judge this matchup based off just game two, it's not fair. If you're going to look at it like, well, like Doug said, that they only led, or the Liberty led for 39 minutes of game one, they still came back from down 15 with 5 minutes left in the game. This is a full-fledged team. And I'll tell you something that I've been saying for 2-3 years. If Cheryl Reeve is coaching a team, you cannot count that team out. She has seen a lot. She's won championships. She's developed players. Yes. She's coached Team USA. She's coached against the world's best, with the world's best. She knows how to make adjustments. This is a woman who's done a lot. It's not, and I'm not knocking, Sandy Brundello, but this is a world-class team just as much as the Liberty is.
So let me ask you this. Do you think there's more pressure on the Liberty and the Lynx are kind of playing more free, because no one really expected them to be here, and people started to pay attention when they were in the Commissioner Cup and then won the Commissioner Cup, but
right.
Really still people all year long said it's the Liberty and the Aces are the two best teams.
Yeah, I think both teams are feeling a little bit of the pressure. I don't think that the Lynx as much, but I definitely think the Liberty, just because they've stood their ground and they've said all year that last year's WNBA Finals loss stung and they want revenge for that. So I think they're feeling the pressure, but the thing is, Cheryl Reeve, I've been in Zooms all season long covering the team for WGRamirez.com. I've been putting content up on my website. Cheryl Reeve, numerous times, and she and I had great banter at one press conference, and she was like, she talked about power ratings, and she was like giving me crap because she was like, yeah, where'd you have us at the beginning of the season, Willie? All the people that are doing the power, we don't pay attention to that because they all had us all. But they've stood on that soapbox all season. Well, now you have to stand up to it.
Right.
So if you're going to make the – you brought the pressure upon yourself. If they came in under the radar and never made those points from week four on, it's one thing. But they sort of have pointed out that, hey, you guys have forgotten about us and it's a mistake and we'll show you. Well, now you got to show us. So this here's the thing. They always say that a series doesn't start until you win one on the road. Well, guess what? The Lynx did their part. They now have home field, home court. So their job's done. They just got to come home and win too. So the pressure's on the Liberty to win game three, not the Lynx.
I agree. You think this is going the distance though, right?
Let's revisit that.
Okay.
That's going to be tough. It's a tough for me to answer. Hour two in the books. Reno, thanks for joining us. Eye on Sports Gambling. brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill. When we come back, it's the 5 o'clock frenzy. Plus, we got giveaway. We're giving away tickets to Sam Hunt.